Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. We have the good fortune every so often to have food writer Jeanette Hurt stop by the Lake Effect studio. Jeanette writes extensively about the Wisconsin cheese industry, and she visits us now to offer some suggestions for your next get-together.
Or even your next grilled cheese sandwich. She joined us in the studio and, more importantly, brought along a handful of cheeses for us to try. Great to see you again.
Thank you, Mitch. Glad to be here.
It's always nice to have you here because you bring cheese with you when you come to the station. And we'll get to the cheeses that you've brought along in just a moment. But let's talk about what's happening in the cheese world at the beginning of 2018.
Well, last year, specialty cheese in Wisconsin increased production by 7%.
And give people a working definition for specialty cheese.
Specialty cheese, artisan cheeses, flavored cheeses, the interesting things, the not cheddar or
Colby,
yeah, but the really, really good cheeses, the ones that have interesting flavors, of which I have one really interesting blue cheese for you here.
I'm intrigued.
The other thing that they expect more of is cheese plates. There were more than 200,000 photos of cheese plates, especially by millennials last year. And they expect this trend to grow.
And so one imagines that it's not just that millennials are the only people eating cheese plates. They're the ones that are taking the pictures of the cheese plates.
Yes, and I don't think it's just millennials. If you go to any restaurant that has a good cheese plate, you will see people taking photos. Or people do photos of their own cheeses at home. It goes along with the whole selfie culture and taking photos of food culture, which has its own niche these days.
We'll call those cheesies.
Yes. So the other thing is, so specialty cheese and also strongly flavored cheeses. There are different ones out there where they combine interesting things, whether it's strong spices like paprika or herbs like chives. And we'll introduce one cheese. This is a Deer Creek Reserve cheese, and it's called the Blue Jay. It is a Wisconsin cream blue cheese, and it's made with juniper berries.
Oh, wow.
And juniper berries, of course, are what give gin its distinctive flavor. I have played around with this cheese, and I have found it really good to garnish cocktails that have gin in them. I could see this stuffing an olive for a gin martini, and that would go perfectly. But I've also used it for sweeter cocktails. I have used it to garnish on fruit with honey, and it's really good.
What's the ideal way to taste cheese? You know, I know there are various ways. If you're doing a coffee tasting or a beer tasting or whatever, there are things that you're supposed to do with your mouth and nose. Is there a
technique? Well, the first thing you do is you look at it. That's what everyone says. Whether it's wine or beer, you look at it. You look at the colors. You look at in this case, you look at the lovely blue veins, and then you smell. And with this, you can smell both the blue and the juniper and how they go so well. One of the things I learned is the best way to taste wine and cheese together is after you taste the wine, you taste the cheese. To taste it together, you mash the cheese on your tongue and you create a cheese highway, and then you sip the wine or the beer or the whiskey and you slurp it up and the combination. But I think just taste it.
It's kind of amazing that there is not a road in Wisconsin called the Cheese Highway. That is delicious.
It's just a lovely cheese.
Wow. And I think I've mentioned in the past that I did not used to be a blue cheese person. But I wonder if there's such a difference between a high-quality blue cheese and, you know, what you often find on your salad at a restaurant.
Well, I think a lot of – especially the upscale restaurants in Milwaukee use really quality blue cheese, and it's pretty easy to find. There's a lot of really good producers of blue cheese. This is one of the more interesting ones because it's flavored, and you don't think of blue cheese as being flavored.
Right. You think of blue cheese as having its own distinct flavor.
It is, but the juniper really complements the blue, and it's made with cream. It's really creamy. I think it would be a good addition to a salad, or you could spread it over rye toast or crackers, adding a little bit of honey to add a sweetness to go with the sharpness.
Absolutely. So that was a Blue Jay variety of blue from Deer Creek.
Yes.
What do we have next?
Next, we have Marika Gouda Premium Gouda. This is Gouda that has been aged 12 to 18 months. So it's stronger than the typical Gouda you would think of. It's still mild. It's still nutty. But it's going to have more of an enhanced flavor. The other thing, if you've noticed, there's little tiny holes, which you wouldn't think. But that develops as the aging process of cheese. This is, of course, made by Marika Penterman at Holland's Family Farm.
Which is where?
It is in Thorpe, Wisconsin. Lovely, golden, almost in color. Smell it. It almost smells sweet.
Yeah.
It smells nutty.
And I will say, I may have mentioned before that I'm not typically a blue cheese fan. I may have also mentioned before that I love Gouda, and this is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really good. It is sweet.
It's just lovely. Hmm. When I have served cheese plates with it, the two cheeses that go the fastest, it doesn't matter where I've had these cheese plates. Most recently, I was one of the organizers of the American Society of Journalists and Authors conference in Chicago at Columbia College in November. And the two cheeses that went, of course, were Sartori's Bellavitano, which I've brought here. And this was their black pepper rubbed, mm-hmm. which took first place. And then Marika's Gouda. It doesn't matter what flavor on either of them. But those are the two cheeses that people end up just eating and eating and eating.
I'm looking at that brick that you brought with you and thinking that I could just
– Well, yeah, you could.
But
it
I
might
won't.
Be your lunch today.
Yeah.
The next one is Tallgrass Reserve, made by Landmark Creamery, and it's made by two Annas, Anna Landmark and Anna Thomas Bates. They make their cheese off-site. They actually started making their cheese at Clock Shadow.
Oh, yep.
And they mostly make sheep's milk cheese, but this is their one pasture-grazed cow milk cheese, which is aged at least 6 months. The rind, if you look at it, it's pretty rough.
It almost looks like the bark of a tree.
Well, you can see right here, paprika and olive oil. So, and then it's cave-aged. So that's why you've got these distinct. And this one... Definitely stronger.
Okay.
And if you look on the label, it says, pair with cured meat or a shot of bourbon, which brings me to another cheese trend. It hasn't totally caught on, but the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board has done different classes, including cheese and whiskey pairing classes. And I think that's an interesting trend. But smell it. It's really earthy, a little bit grassy. It's lovely, but this is a lot stronger than
the Gouda. Yeah. Again, I'm not disappointed.
It's wonderful. This one would, I think, go really well in a grilled cheese sandwich.
Absolutely,
melted.
Yeah. Maybe on some sourdough bread.
Yes. And I think it would go well with chutney or a little bit of a sweet jam to contrast with its earthiness. Now, this next one is the cave-aged bandaged cheddar from Bluemont Dairy Company. And they have a cave, and they age cheeses not just their own but other cheesemakers. This smells it smells like a cave. And it's not cheddar like we think of in Wisconsin typically. Very earthy.
Yes, for sure.
One thing, the cheesemaker Willie Lehman has always experimented with using different bacteria. He tries to get it as local as possible, whether it's in the soil or air. And he has sprayed his cheeses with different things to get the combination he wants. As he says, it's made from pasteurized milk, rennet, cultures, salt, and love with a capital L. You can taste the cheddar.
Right. I was going to say it tastes, but it's not necessarily that sharp.
It's funkier.
Yeah. In a good way.
It is. It's got a little bit, I mean, it tastes earthy. it's not the cheddar that you'd expect. But bandaged cheddars are more traditional in England. I've seen some in California. But Willie's one of the only ones in Wisconsin doing the bandage, which means they actually wrap it in like bandages right. and age it. And then you have that rougher, moldier sort of
I'm going to take a picture of this because people will want to see what we were talking about.
They're all wonderful cheeses, all different, and they're all made from cow's milk, Wisconsin cows to be exact. So it's interesting how they are all so very different.
And I don't know that I can pick a favorite of those four because they were all terrific. I think if I had to choose, I would go with either the tall grass or the Gouda, but that's really just a personal preference.
I think that's the thing. And the other thing is what kind of mood you're in. If you're having an after-dinner dessert, I would think maybe the blue cheese, especially with honey, that
sure.
would be sort of a dessert. If you're looking for something to snack in the afternoon, probably the Gouda because you'd probably want more. But if you're looking for something with a little more oomph, go with the last two cheeses because one of those – and this, of course, the cave-aged bandage cheddar, his cheeses have won several big awards in the American Cheese Society. And they're just really – they're all interesting, all different. And I think they're a good representation of all the cheeses that you can find here in Wisconsin. And we're really blessed that we have such great cheese. All of these came from Larry's Market. I often stop in there.
I imagine you have frequent flyer miles at Larry's
yes,
Market.
Yes.
So before I let you go, are there cheeses that are on your radar that you're particularly looking forward to tasting this spring?
Well, usually every year before the American Cheese Society, the cheesemakers in Wisconsin come up with some new ones. And I don't know what they're going to be because here in Wisconsin, we don't – although we're mostly known for our cows, we are the largest producers of goat's milk and the largest producers of sheep's milk. We are not the largest producers of cow's milk, but we are the largest producer of cheese. So that I think is interesting. And it's interesting to see all the different people who get into cheese and then how they evolve. Of the cheesemakers here, I would say that Landmark Creamery is the youngest, and they only started making cheese in 2013.
Wow.
So
they've come a long way
in
5 years.
And they still make their cheese at other people's creameries because they don't have the equipment, but they just bought a new warehouse where they eventually hope to put equipment in.
That is fantastic. Well, we will look forward to our next visit from you because you always bring us some really amazing cheese, I have to say. Jeanette Hurt, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Jeanette Hurt is a Milwaukee-based food writer. Her books include Drink Like a Woman, The Idiot's Guide to Food and Wine Pairing, and The Cheeses of Wisconsin. And she's the Lake Effect Ambassador to the Cheese World.
So that would make her the Kurdish Ambassador.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
That is all for today's edition of the show. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow at 10 for another Wedge of Lake Effect right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Stay tuned before it goes right past your eyes. Fresh air is next.